The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." And Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. And anyone who gives a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me in order to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone was put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord.
Hi, everyone. I'm Colleen Williams. As a journalist, a mother, a human being, I would like to introduce you to Father Tom Hagen. Father Tom is an oblate priest who has been doing missionary work in Haiti for the past 30 years. Here is his description of Haiti as he experienced it for over three decades. Once called the Pearl of the Caribbean, Haiti occupies the western half of the island of Hispaniola, just southeast of Cuba. French colonists imported African slaves and ravaged the land. Those slaves revolted in 1804, and Haiti gained independence. They were proud to have defeated Napoleon's army to gain freedom, but brutal dictators followed. Today, Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, 10 million people. Devastation by earthquakes and hurricanes, exploitation by political leaders. But despite its history, a proud and joyous people. The UN documents one slum area, Cité Soleil, near the capital, Port-au-Prince, as the most violent place on earth. 300,000 people live in the slum of Cité Soleil. It is 3 square miles of shacks made of cardboard, plastic bags, and tin. No electricity, no running water, no toilets. Cité Soleil is a garbage dump where the poor have been forced to live. Trash everywhere. Disease rampant. 90% unemployment. Local gangs rule territories. Murder and violence are the norm, and hunger stalks Cité Soleil. There are no public schools. Rural Haiti exhibits a different kind of poverty. The beautiful mahogany forests of Haiti were cut down and shipped to France by the colonizers. As a result, the topsoil washed into the sea. Agriculture became a challenge. Young people are lured to the city, and small farming communities, they are left with no one to work the fields. Into this world stepped Father Tom with his associate, Doug Campbell. Father Tom founded Hands Together to help the poorest of the poor. The heart of Hands Together is the gospel proclamation that God loves each person infinitely and absolutely. Hands Together has developed extensive programs in four major areas: education, nutrition and health, agriculture, and services. Father Tom and Doug believe that education is the only escape from Cité Soleil and the poverty that is Haiti. They founded the Hands Together schools, preschool through high school. Today, they serve 17,000 children. All Hands Together schools are free. They are safe havens of hope and love from the violence of poverty. The schools offer an antidote to a gang life of violence, drugs, and crime. The girls are rescued from early pregnancy and possible prostitution. The schools offer a well-rounded education with emphasis on service and helping others. There is equal representation of girls and boys in a country where one-third of the girls never ever attend school. To stem malnourishment, Hands Together provides a free, nourishing noonday meal daily to all of the children in their schools. Collaboration with Mary's Meals makes this possible. Since contaminated water is the principal cause of disease in Haiti, Hands Together has drilled over 1,000 wells throughout Haiti for potable water and agricultural development. There is no medical aid in Cité Soleil and the remote villages, so Hands Together operates a free mobile clinic that can reach these areas. The clinic is staffed by Haitian doctors and nurses and treats over 30,000 patients a year. Hands Together also operates two free health clinics, one in Cité Soleil slum and one in the Gonaïves True Sable slum. Treatment for gunshot wounds is common. Mothers with infants are the most numerous patients. Haiti is an agricultural nation, but farming techniques are turn of the century here. Hands Together has created a 144-acre model farm dedicated to improving and expanding Haiti's agricultural production. Poor farmers learn new methods, and hundreds of agriculture students take a 3-month hands-on program. The hope here? To create agents of change who will modernize Haiti agriculture. Hands Together has also fostered and funded 3 credit unions and agricultural cooperatives. The largest, Prodeeb, has over 1,000 members. The cooperatives provide irrigation, tools, seeds, and credit. They pool crops and help the farmers market their produce. In the remote village of Bassine, Hands Together has also built a retreat center which provides agricultural and environmental training for thousands of students and farmers every year. It promotes massive reforestation projects and champions recycling and composting throughout Haiti. Poverty creates special needs. Hands Together reaches out to provide a variety of services, including emergency aid, assisting in countless personal emergencies, illness, hunger, funerals, clothing the naked, gang intervention, intervening in gang warfare, elderly feeding and care, caring for and feeding the elderly, Radio Boukman, financing and staffing a grassroots radio station, and sports, installing an artificial turf soccer and community field in Cité Soleil. It is a place of joy. Leadership. Hands Together employs over 800 Haitians and develops Haitian-run programs. Father Tom's philosophy is to empower the Haitian poor. Visitors, Hands Together welcomes visitors, especially from parishes or organizations. Invariably, the visitors experience the trip of a lifetime. The visit is typically 4 to 5 days, and the visitors pay their own way. But Father Tom provides accommodations, transportation, and meals. Groups are limited in size, 10 to 12 people. Father Tom and Hands Together live the gospel. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. God bless Father Tom and Hands Together. If you would like to reach out and help Father Tom Hagen, here's the information you need.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Well, it's great to be in California at our second family, our Holy Family, and we do feel like we're part of your family. And once again, Carl has outdone himself, and he's done what's very hard to do, and that is to capture through excellent images and narration the magnificent work that we've shared together over a dozen years with Clem and Carl and all the parts of all the people at Holy Family and at Mission Haiti. The reason all of this takes place is because decisions had to be made. And today, another decision must be made as well, and we all have to make a decision. I remember there's an image in that film of a doctor standing in the doorway of a mobile clinic, this giant RV in a rural village, and his name is Dr. Fanfan. And Dr. Fanfan was a very dear friend of mine who would share the same quarters after the earthquake in a tent. And he was murdered in 2011, after a year after the earthquake, after giving us counsel on how to avoid violence against ourselves from other different troubles that we had. And it was after that murder, I remember, I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision if this work was meant for me any longer. And I remember going to Father Tom and having this strong feeling that it was time maybe for me to do something else. Maybe it was time for him to take a parish in the United States and try to convince him that was the course that we should follow. And he looked at me and he was very quiet for a little bit. And then he turned to me and he said something that I'll never forget. He looked at me and he said that we can't do something else. And I said, why not? And he said, because they have nobody else. He said, these are the ones that Jesus was talking about. These are the forgotten ones. These are the ones that Jesus spoke about 18 times in the gospel, that if you want to know him, that we must seek out the poor and help those who have nobody, who are on the margins, who are forgotten and dehumanized. And so we have in front of us again today, this morning. We have to remember that the people we're talking about are not people that are in a film, but they're real people. That the children that get up in the morning and go to our classroom have spent the night on the dirt, being woken up by the rats that are biting at them during the evenings, okay? These children have spent their weekends eating mud pancakes because their family cannot feed them. These children have never blown out the candle on a birthday cake or opened their Christmas presents under a tree or gone with their friends to a movie. These children are traumatized by violence and gun battles and vicious violence. And yet somehow together over 12 years, there's a magnificent kingdom that's being built together between you and us to help these people. And remember what I'm really talking to you about, and if we really close our eyes and we stop and we slow everything down and we just for a moment ask our Lord to talk to us and help us make a decision, we'll hear this cry coming from very far away in this slum, this loud, clear cry, and it's the cry of our Lord, Jesus. It's the cry of the poor. And he's saying, I need you. I need you. Not tomorrow, not when the school year's over, not when I retire, not when I get my first big job, but I need you right now. Whatever gifts and graces and talents have been given to me are not meant for me. but they're meant to be shared with those that we come in contact with us over our life. So I ask you today to think about what this film and the work that we're doing together means to you, and make a decision. Make a decision to be proud to be Catholic. We belong to a remarkable church. Remarkable. I never could have come up with the nutrition and the water projects. That wouldn't have been my plan. But that's our Lord working through us and joining with us together to do things that we would never think of doing. So please, I ask you to make a decision today to do something for those that need our help, and be as generous as you can. And now I'd like to bring up my dearest friend and my mentor and my colleague, Father Tom Hagen. God bless all of you. God love you.
Thank you, Mike. I don't know how many years it's been since I've come here. I arrived from Haiti just yesterday. Doug would go back tomorrow. But I remember the first time coming here, I felt this energy as I look out at your faces. You have this truly remarkable parish. And every time I come back here, I feel like I've come home again. But I got to tell you honestly, my fellow missionaries, you just saw that wonderful film put out by Carl. Listen, I would be enormously pretentious if I gave the impression that even a tiny little bit of that was because of me. It's not. Not at all. The reason why you saw all those wonderful projects is because of people like you, and especially our American young people. 1986 was the first time I stepped foot on the soil of Haiti. And were the first people we encountered were the lepers in northern Haiti, 1,200 lepers. It was Doug Campbell who just spoke here with a group of college students who said, let's do something about the lepers. I was huddled over in a corner saying, I don't even want to deal with the lepers. I was afraid of them. But they did it. And they eventually have a clinic for them. And if you talk to the bishop now in northern Haiti, he'll say, that visit by those American young people is what killed the bias against the lepers. Well, that's just one example. I look out at you now, and I find myself wanting to say to you again, as I said the first time I came here, I called you fellow missionaries, and I believe truly that each and every one of you is a missionary. You don't have to go to Haiti or Latin America or anywhere else. Our Lord is calling you right now exactly where you are. And I find myself wanting to share with you a little poem that I read quite often by Dom Helder Camara in Latin America. Dom Helder wrote a poem about in the morning he'd get up and he would sit on the steps of his little house. And one morning he's sitting there and he's watching all these ants, and they're pulling this piece of sugar cane, and they're working really hard pulling this piece of sugar cane. And Dom Helder would reach down and pick up one of the ants and turn it upside down, and he would watch it, and it would slow up and it would just be still. And Dom Helder would then take the ant and put it back on the ground, and the ant would walk away from all the other ants who were working on the sugar cane. And he would end the poem by saying it was the first time in the ant's life that it saw the blue sky. My fellow missionaries, what I want to say to each and every one of you is, we all have those days when we feel like we can't do anything or we're just consumed by so much. And suddenly the Lord can pick us up and show us, hey, there is a blue sky. And that happened to me, I don't know how many years ago, when Clem Connolly knocked on the door of our house in Haiti and said, I'm from California and we would like to help you. And Clem, because of that visit, that day I saw the blue sky. And much of what you see on that film comes because of the generosity of this wonderful parish and your leader, Clem. And I find myself wanting to say to you, please, you know, believe you're a missionary and believe also in this wonderful church of ours. I've worked as a priest in Nicaragua and Guatemala and Mexico and in the inner cities of the United States. And let me tell you something, if it weren't for our church, those people would not have survived. Make a promise even at today's Mass, you'll never give up on your faith, your wonderful Catholic faith. And also really believe that the same loving God that took care of us yesterday, he'll take care of us today, and he'll take care of us tomorrow. I'll be quite honest with you, I don't know how I've passed these last 30 years. We've had ups and downs, a lot of violence. And even now, I don't really necessarily want to go back tomorrow to Haiti. But somehow I keep going back, and what makes me going back are people like you. But I want to say to you, honestly, maybe end it with just a little thing I do every day in the chapel. This is a fork. And sometimes I sit in the chapel and I look at this fork, especially on those bad days or tough days. And it comes from a story I once heard of an extraordinary young man who was very gifted, great athlete, great scholar, and he was dying of cancer at a young age. And the priest gave him the last rites, and he said to the priest, "Father, when I'm laid out, please take a fork and put it in my hand." And the priest said, Why would I do that? And he said, "Father, I can remember every time we had a big meal at home, especially on Thanksgiving, Mom would say, 'Hold on to your fork, because the best is yet to come.'" And my fellow missionaries, I don't know what the future holds, but if you're a little down today, maybe your teenage son's giving you trouble, or your marriage is struggling, or you got problems with your whatever, the best is yet to come. And I believe that through your wonderful leadership here at Clement Hall, this wonderful parish, the best is yet to come. I don't know what our future is in Haiti, but somehow, just looking out at you, I can say the best is yet to come. God bless you. God love you. And thanks for having me here today. Thank you.
Well, you heard from Father Tom. You all have been such tremendous supporters of Hands Together over the years, and we've played such an integral role in their success these past few decades. We learned today from Carl's video the difference that Hands Together is making in regards to health services, farming, education, as well as providing food to seniors and children that the world has simply forgotten. We hope coming out of today's Mass, you'll continue to pray for our friends at Hands Together. Talk to a Haiti committee member at Conley Hall after Mass today if you'd like to volunteer. And importantly, please be generous with your gift today, as it will make an incredible difference. You've probably seen the envelope and the brochure you got in the mailing this week. We've got additional envelopes here in all the pews today. Look for the white envelope. You can use cash, checks, and even credit cards. If you'd like to take the envelope home and bring it back next Sunday and put it in the collection next Sunday, you're welcome to do that as well. And on behalf of the Mission Haiti Committee, thank you so much for your continued support of Hands Together.